I think it's in Seaside, Oregon. There's this kind of Ripley's Believe It or Not. It's a museum. It's not Ripley's Believe It or Not, but do you remember the name of that museum? It's not there anymore? No, this one is in Seaside. What? Marshes? Oh, it's in Long Beach. It's in Long Beach. I'm wrong place in Long Beach. Marshes. And they have this crocodile, half man there. And it's mummified. And, you know, there's a lot of suckers born, right? It's a farce. I was at Safeway yesterday, and there's National Enquirer there, and I don't remember the story, but they report on some really odd stuff, right? Aliens coming to Earth and weird stuff. Where did they get this from? Well, I'm afraid that this morning's text is treated as something like Ripley's Believe It or Not or Marsh's Alligator Man. And so it's brought a lot of controversy into the church and a lot of embarrassment for people because of what the Bible teaches on this subject. But I would like to take a close look at it. And it, as good covenanters, you may be on one side of this argument or on the other side of it. And what do we do in the covenant? Do we belittle each other? Do we say, you're an idiot for believing that? Or you don't have enough faith in the Bible? Whatever, we agree to disagree and we get along just fine. But some of you are going to go, you're nuts. Some of you will go, I never thought of it that way before. So let's take a look at the text. It's found in Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. It's about the Nephilim. You heard of the Nephilim. Genesis 6, verses 1 through 8. Now it came about when men began to multiply on the face of the land, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose. Then the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. They were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord says, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So we have a description of the reason for God bringing the flood upon the earth. That text describes why God destroyed all of humankind in the flood. It's controversial because of this. Beginning first two verses, it says, now it came about when men began to multiply in the face of the land and daughters were born to them. So from Adam came Seth, and then Seth had sons, and they had sons, Cain had sons, and they filled the earth rather quickly. Do you realize that if you take a penny and you double it every day, so you give me a penny the first day, 2 pennies, 4 pennies, 8 pennies, you know how much you'll have by 30 days? I think it's over $1 billion, isn't it? It's about $1 billion. Yeah, it's a lot. So if you take one human being, and they didn't have birth control back then. Can I say that? Yes. They didn't have birth control, and so they didn't have just one or two kids. They had 8 to 12 kids. And it was likely before all of the childhood diseases set in, because the creation was brand new. So you had very large families, and within just a matter of, how old did Adam live? So how many people could have been on the earth by the time Noah lived? A lot of people. So now it came about when men began to multiply on the face of the land, and the daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose. This is where we get into controversy. that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful. Who are these sons of God? Yes, that's the historic reading of this text, is angels. This caused great embarrassment for the church after the church was formed in the first century after Jesus lived. And so about the fourth century, when Constantine came into power, several theologians, including Augustine, or Augustine, however you want to pronounce his name, were very embarrassed by this doctrine that angels came and had sex with human beings and produced this odd offspring, which were the Nephilim, giants. And so they came up with a different interpretation that was called the Seth and Cain view, so that the sons of God were Seth's line, and the daughters of men were Cain's line. And so they said that because Cain had already fallen away and had become sinful, and Seth was a lineage that was still honoring and worshiping God, that as they intermarried, it corrupted Seth's line, and pretty soon the whole place was corrupted. And they will use to back this up that the sons of God, although that phrase does not occur literally in reference to human beings, it has variations of it. So the sons of the Lord, who is God, the sons of the Lord, and so on. So that's the view. That's one view, that it's Seth's children married Cain's children, and by that doing that, they corrupted the human race. There's some problems with that, though. The first problem is that, why then did they produce giants? What's this thing about giants? Also, there's a contrast between the sons of God and the daughters of men. Aren't the daughters of Seth daughters, or the sons of Seth sons of men? Right? So there's this contrast between heaven and earth. But the most telling thing is there's only three other occurrences of sons of God in the Old Testament, that phrase. Turn with me to them. They're all found in the book of Job. Job chapter 1, verse 6. There should be a pew Bible right in front of you. We have lots of pew Bibles now. We got a new case of them. So no excuse for not pulling out your pew Bible. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. Human beings or angels? What are we talking about there? Angels, right? Can't be human beings. That would mean that we could get up to heaven. Job 2:1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. Human beings or angels? Angels. Then Job 38, verse 7. Job 38, verse 7. When this morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Speaking of men or of angels? Angels. So all the other occurrences of this exact phrase, sons of God, refer to what? Angels. So likely in the passage, what does it refer to in Genesis? Angels. Okay, you're feeling uncomfortable now. Let's go to Jude. We read that this morning in our text, in our morning scripture text. Turn to Jude chapter 1. Actually, there is only one chapter. Yes, please turn to Jude chapter 2. Yeah. That's a good one. I'm going to get you guys in confirmation on that this next year. Jude chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. And angels who did not keep their own domain but abandoned their proper abode. So angels who did not keep their own place, their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, abandoned their proper home. He is kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. So whatever these angels did, they left their own place, their own home. And because of that, he is kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. So are these angels, these fallen angels, are they roaming the earth right now? These angels. No, they're kept in eternal bonds for whatever they did. Okay, and then look at what they did. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah, so now there's a contrast, a comparison between these angels and the men of Sodom and Gomorrah. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh. What are we talking about here? What did the men of Sodom and Gomorrah do? They went after strange flesh. They went after other men, right? Do you remember literally on the day that it was going to be destroyed, who showed up in Sodom and Gomorrah? Were they men or angels? Angels. And who did the men of Sodom and Gomorrah want to come and rape? The angels. Were they men or angels? Angels. Do you follow this? It's a flip-flop. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulge in gross immorality, speaking specifically of homosexuality there, and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. So how does Jude read that text back in Genesis? As angels or human beings? As angels, right? Well, we also know from the book of Jude that it quotes a book that's not in the Bible called First Enoch, the book of Enoch. And it didn't make it into the canon, which is a good thing. So Enoch is not an authoritative book. We do not set doctrine by it. We do not set any of our beliefs by it. However, Jude references the book of Enoch. So Jude, the brother, the half-brother of Jesus, was well aware of the book of Enoch and actually quotes it in the book of Jude. In the book of Enoch, it says this, "And it came to pass that the children of men had multiplied that in those days were born unto them beautiful and comely daughters. And the angels, the children of heaven, saw and lusted after them and said to one another, Come, let us choose us wives from among the children of men and beget us children. They took unto themselves wives and each chose for them one, and they began to go unto them and to defile themselves with them, and they taught them charms and enchantments, and they became pregnant, and they bare great giants, and there arose much godliness, and they committed fornication, and they were led astray, and became corrupt in all their ways." So Jude is already quoted this book, and is likely aware of the book of Enoch's interpretation of Genesis. So what do you think the early church and the Jewish Judaism believed about Genesis, the text in Genesis? That it was angels or men? Well, as I said, in the 4th century thereabouts, the Romans were, and the Greeks were ridiculing Christians for believing this. What is this, Ripley's Believe It or Not? You're believing in the half man, half alligator. I mean, that you guys are nuts. And so out of embarrassment, the church says, we got to revise this. Jude was wrong. Enoch's interpretation was wrong. The grammar is wrong. So we're going to come up with this other reading. And it's been prevalent to this day. You pick up many commentaries and they will tell you that it's ridiculous to believe that angels ever came down. The main objection to the view that angels came down and married men, or married these women, is found in Matthew chapter 22, verses 29 through 30. It says, "But Jesus answered and said to them, You are mistaken," speaking to the Sadducees who have come along and given this story about all the women who, or all the husbands who died, and then when this woman, when the husbands died, and this woman gets to heaven, which one is going to be her husband. He says, but in Matthew 22, verses 29 and 30, but Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken, not understanding the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. So the argument is that angels in heaven don't marry, so it can't be true that they came down and married the daughters of men. But which angels are those talking about? The angels in heaven. That's not talking about fallen demonic angels. One more text to look at that addresses this. Are you getting uncomfortable yet?
No.
Okay, 1 Peter. Some of you are looking at me like, this is our pastor? I think he's flipped the lid. You always knew I was weird, so. 1 Peter chapter 3, 18 through 20. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who were once disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through the water. So Jesus went and made proclamation to the spirits that were in prison. In Jude, it tells us that they were in eternal bonds, to tell them the victory that Jesus won. Why would Jesus do this? Why would he go and tell demonic spirits, if that's who we're talking about, which this word tends to be used for evil spirits, why would Jesus go and proclaim to those evil spirits the victory that he had won on the cross? Think about that. Well, what was the promise given to Eve about her descendants, one of her descendants, about her seed? That one of her seed will crush Satan's head. So what if Satan came up with a ploy that he would so pollute the human race that there would be no seed anymore that was purely human? Right? And now to these angels who were involved in that conspiracy, he goes and proclaims that the seed had come, finished his work, and completed it. That seems to make sense to me. But now we're left with this strange thing that demons came down and had sex with women and gave offspring. So let me help you unpack that a minute. Are demons real? We first have to address that. What are demons? Who are they? They're fallen angels, right? It says in Ezekiel and Isaiah that it describes Satan, and it describes that Satan deceived a third of the stars of heaven, a third of the angels who were in heaven. So a third of the angels fell with Satan. And they are corrupt beings, angelic beings, who are very, very powerful beings. The second question, so are they real? Yes. The second question, can they take bodily form? Can angels take bodily form? Oh, we see them visiting Abraham. And Abraham at first doesn't really know that they're angels, right? Have you heard the song by Newsboys, Entertaining Angels? Entertaining Angels. So it must be true, right? The Gospel According to the Newsboys. No, I don't think so. So really what it comes down to is the Bible's pretty clear on it, but it sounds so much like Ripley's Believe It or Not, let's come up with a different interpretation. Am I going to belittle you if you want to hold to the Seth and Cain's line? No, I'm not. But I'm trying to read the Bible accurately for what it says. And the grammar of the phrase sons of God, Jude's interpretation, Peter's interpretation, Enoch's witness, the book of Enoch's witness, the overwhelming sense that this is what the church believed through the first 300 years of the church, and what Judaism believed for all those years, it would appear that these were actually angelic beings. One last thing. In the occult, in the world of the occult, this is not an uncommon thing. And I don't want to go into it, but there are demonic spirits called incubi and succubi. Have you heard of these things? They are female and male sexual spirits. And in the occult, people are involved in having sex with demons. Today. What's the warning to us in Peter and in Matthew? That as in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the end of the age. So would we be surprised that once again this is happening? No. It still sounds like Ripley's Believe It or Not to me, that these angels came down, had sex with these women, and produced these giants, the Nephilim. Moving on, it says, "Then the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. My spirit will not contend, fight with man forever." Remember that scripture in the New Testament? These men are always resisting the Holy Spirit. These people are always resistant to the Holy Spirit. That was Noah's generation. Didn't take any counsel from God, only their own counsel, from their own reasoning. And so it says, nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. That isn't telling us that humankind's span of years is going to be only 120 years. It's telling us that from the time this was announced to Noah, humankind's were going to live on the earth 120 years. How long did Noah preach? 120 years, and the flood came. Why would God give these people 120 years? First of all, let Noah build the ark. I'm sure it took him 120 years, probably. But why else? Why would God do that? Give him a chance to repent. So even in this story, we find grace. And then verse 4, the Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men. That's an interesting phrase. Came into could be speaking of sexual intercourse. Sorry. Or it could be what? These are angelic beings. What does it sound like? Sounds like possession. And they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men of old, men of renown. The Nephilim are mentioned one other place in the Bible, in Numbers 13, if you could turn there real quick. Verse 30, Numbers 13, verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it." Here we are on the very tail end of the story where Moses sends in the 12 spies into the land of Canaan. And the 12 spies come back, and the 10 give a bad report. And Joshua and Caleb give a good report. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, with grape clusters that you have to carry on a staff. You know, it's a glowing report. And a report that has faith in God, that with God, we are in covenant with God, we will trounce these people. But the 10 spies, verse 31, they say, "But the men who had gone up with them said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us.' So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we had gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all of the people whom we saw in it are men of great size.'" They were giants. "There also we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight." And so we were in their sight. Who was Goliath? He was a Philistine, but he was likely one of the Nephilim. Right?
So the Nephilim are the giants?
Yes.
It sounds like they were two different.
It's Yes, there's another group called the Rephaim, which is also a group of giants. So there's more than apparently one tribe of these creatures, if you take them as human or if you take them as a hybrid, however. Yes. Look back to Genesis again. In verse 4, the Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward. They didn't survive the flood. It happened again. Working overtime. Do you follow that? So it appears that the angels didn't give up on this. Or if you hold to the Seth line, then it destroys that because Cain's line was completely destroyed in the flood, unless some of the daughters were Cainites. So the Lord saw the wickedness of man, it says in verse 5 of Genesis, and the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. First of all, the Lord saw the wickedness of man. He saw the outcome of whatever this was. Whether you take the Sethite, the Seth view, and the Cain view, or whether you take the angelic view, whatever happened, it corrupted the human race to the extent that the Lord saw it, that the wickedness was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. Think about that. A heart and a mind. Heart to the Hebrew person was generally meant their mind, can mean the totality of their mind, will, and emotions, or oftentimes it means just mind. So the intent of their thoughts, of their hearts, was evil continually. Was there ever a good thought on these people's minds? And how many of the earth were that way? All but eight. We're not even sure about the eight, right? Because it doesn't tell us that Noah was not sinful like this. We'll get there. In Matthew 24:37, it says, "For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah." So think about what Genesis tells us. It tells us that the earth has an exploding population. Is that true today? It tells us that there was sexual perversion going on. Is that going on today? It tells us that there was demonic activity. Recently, I got a phone call from somebody who does not attend our church, and their son is having trouble with violent behavior. Very, very violent behavior. Well, what has his son been doing? Just got a computer. And what is this son doing on the computer? Guess what he's playing? Very young little young man. He's playing Dungeons and Dragons online. 10 years old, playing Dungeons and Dragons out on the internet. And a week after he starts playing this, he erupts in violent behavior. Very violent behavior. You know, we insulate ourselves from the demonic in terms of our knowledge. We say, well, it doesn't really exist, or if it does, it's not here. Go into any record store or go into any movie rental place and look at the covers. I know a man who lives in the city here who is demon-possessed. He really is. He went into the hospital, and I was called to visit him in the hospital. And I had been there and then gone home to get our car because we thought we were going to have to transport him to Seattle to a hospital there. And in that interlude when I was gone, he had a episode and went absolutely berserk. And eight people in the emergency room had to hold him down. And when I came back, the psychiatrist who works for the hospital was sitting out in the emergency waiting room in the old place, in the old emergency waiting room, and he was visibly shook. And I said, "What happened?" And he says, "We just had a Linda Blair event in there." You know who Linda Blair is? The lady in Exorcist. I said, well, I'm curious, what diagnosis do you give this? What you saw it now, you've seen it firsthand, what diagnosis do you give it? He says, I have no diagnosis for this. I've never seen anything like it. It was demonic. It was clearly demonic. It's real, folks. And our world, our nation, our populations are running headlong into this stuff. And it's not Ripley's Believe It or Not. It's real stuff. Is there demonic activity on the earth? Is it on the rise? Do you think that constant evil is in the heart of mankind now? Think about the internet. What's out in our society now? What's being considered good and what's being considered bad? Isaiah says, woe to you who call good evil and evil good. And the society now says that all kinds of things, sleeping together before marriage, adultery, abortion, homosexuality, all things that were, the sins were condemned in the Bible. The society now says it's a good thing. But normal things like a wholesome family are seen as aberrant, as weird, as constant evil in the heart of man. Lastly, is there widespread corruption and violence? As in the time of, yes. That's referenced in Genesis chapter 6, verse 11. So are we living in the last days? Can we expect things to be like the days of Noah? Yes. Verse 6, the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth. Who are we talking about here? The Lord. You notice that word? How's it spelled in your Bible? Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Who are we talking about? Jesus. In John 1:3, it says, all things came into being through Jesus, and apart from him, nothing came into being that came into being. Colossians 1:6 says, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all talking of demonic and angelic beings. All things have been created through him and for him. Hebrews 1:2, in these last days, God has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Jesus was sorry that he made mankind. How could Jesus be sorry that he made mankind and want to destroy them to the last person and yet be destined to die on the cross? How can that be? What's he grieved about? Is he grieved about that the sons of Seth came and married the sons of Cain, or the daughters of Cain, possibly, and it corrupted the whole human race? Or is he grieved by the fact that these angelic beings had so corrupted the human race that the only choice was to destroy everyone but Noah and his three sons and three daughters and his wife? And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Do you know that God gets grieved? The Holy Spirit gets grieved? Says the Lord says, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I made them. Literally, he repented of making them. He changed his mind. I'm glad it doesn't end there. If it ended there, none of us would be here today. And I'm thankful for verse 8. It says, but Noah found favor. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. The word is the Hebrew word for favor or grace. So Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. One man found grace. Does it say that he's not sinful? Noah found grace. And where was that grace? In the eyes of the Lord. How is the Lord spelled? Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Who is Jesus? So let me read that again. But Noah found grace in the eyes of Jesus. Shirley Robbins went home this week. She had a stroke and then another stroke this week, and she passed away. She's a longtime member of our church. Many of you don't know her, but she was 92. Don Mills passed away in May, at the age of 96. Gail passed away last September. And we've seen so many people go on to be with the Lord. And I wonder, because it says that Jesus is the one who comes and gets us. It suggests that. I wonder what they saw in the eyes of Jesus. Grace. You know, whatever your reading of this, I've tried to argue from the Bible. If you disagree with me, that's fine. I hope you don't think I'm weird. And I won't think you're weird for not believing what the Bible says. No, that was unfair. Is this worth dividing over? Is it worth being embarrassed about? I mean, in terms of what the world thinks. The chief stumbling block in the Bible is not angelic beings coming down and seeing that the daughters of men were beautiful. What is the chief stumbling block in the Bible? This. That God could be foolish enough to send his only son to die on the cross. This is what unites us. The Holy Spirit unites us. We are one body in him because of the shed blood of Jesus. So we have to learn as Christians not to belittle each other for the views that we hold. And to accept each other even though we disagree. Is that fair enough? Is your salvation dependent on whether you believe that the angels came down or whether it was Seth and Cain? So can we find grace in each other's eyes? Yeah. I get online sometimes to look up this stuff, and it's amazing online how vitriolic, how acidic Christians are to each other. If you believe this, you're damned, it's a heresy, you're going to hell. Not this particular thing. What saves you, according to Scripture? Belief in our Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, the one through whom all things were created, and that he is the Messiah, the one who came to save us from our sins. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Amen.